You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
I'm so ashamed of myself. Okay.
Take New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I'm gonna go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian, it's gonna be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian, tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about...
Did you just promise
tonight
that we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Good evening, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. As always, I am your host, John Jameson. Joining me tonight, Brian Fonfara and Dusty Evesley. We got the boys breaking down what happened in Washington, what we're looking forward to against the Buffalo Bills. Taking care of business. Let's get back on our winning ways, boys. I can't take another loss. I cannot take another loss. I know that we saw some more stuff in this last game against the Redskins, particularly Clay Matthews and another roughing the passer. We saw some, just frankly, some piss poor play from a lot of players. So I think we have a lot to talk about tonight, guys. But first off, let's check in on how the intellects are doing. Brian Fonfara, how are you, brother?
So good, Jonathan. How are you, brother?
Hey, brother. Brother, I am well. I actually got a tooth yanked out of my face yesterday.
That's always so fun.
You know, I've seen better days, but at the end of the day, guess what? Life goes on.
John, if you ever need that again, I'll do it for much cheaper than the dentist.
You will.
Yeah, much cheaper.
Like half price. Like he'll charge you $500, but it'll be cheaper than the dentist.
No. You buy me a case of Spotted Cow.
Ooh.
That's the only price. Then I drink like, it and I yank your tooth. And we're all set. It's gonna cost you like $20, man.
I feel like I'm the one that should be drinking the beer.
Well, buy yourself a case too, then. It'll cost you $20.
John, you can probably mind your own business because who's the dentist? not Brian.
Your
but
dentist's
still.
Name is Crentis. Hey. Besides getting a tooth yanked out of me, I'm fine. I am fine. Like I said, life goes on. Brian, is your life well? As we sit and talk today, tonight,
my life is well, man. Brewers are playing well. My soccer team Chelsea beat Liverpool today.
You yourself had a soccer game today.
I did. We won 7-1, and I scored a goal. I'm doing real good right now, man.
Okay,
senior citizen league. That's awesome.
You got into the AARP league.
No, it is not. Nice job. No, it is nice not. Job. It's a 10 and under league. You guys
one goal.
Way
I'm
off.
So
couldn't have been
so proud of you,
the
buddy.
Truth.
Real proud of you, buddy.
Thank you.
Well, Dusty, let's bring you in. Let's bring you in now into our shenanigans so far in this ep. What's crack-a-lacking in your world?
Man, too much and not enough.
Okay,
you know, like I said, I'm sick of another loss, but I'm starting to get geared up for this Bills game. So I'm hyped about that. I'm watching the Bills Vikings game from last week right now to see what we're in for. Yeah, man, things are good. You know, busy, tired. Baby won't sleep through the night. But hey, listen, man, I'm here talking to you boys, so I'm doing very, very well right now.
As Give I recall, a... Dusty, you never sleep anyway. So how is that any different?
That's actually very, very true. Yeah. The only difference is now there's a baby that's crying while I'm not sleeping, which it makes it a little more stressful.
That's mean. Fair. Give me a crying baby at 3 o'clock in the morning over getting a tooth yanked out of your face. Thank you very much.
guys, you threatening to steal my baby, John? It just sounds like you're threatening to steal my
baby.
I'm
not threatening anything. I'm threatening.
Which is fine. You can take him. If you want him, you can take him for the weekend.
I'm threatening you if you don't let me move on to the patented coin toss segment. And I'm threatening myself if I don't be damned if I don't let Brian talk about an amazing sponsor. Go ahead.
I'm gonna. Sioux City Jerky, guys. Pack to the Future is now brought to you by Sioux City Jerky. I got my order this weekend, guys. It was unreal. The Tundra Teriyaki was awesome. I am going to single out one other. It is the Mucho Carne Asada. Oh, just the right amount of kick. Oh, dude, guys, if you haven't ordered it yet, go. SiouxCityJerky.com. It's all made in the USA. Portion of each purchase goes to the Children's Miracle Network. You're supporting a good local United States company, guys. Sioux City Jerky. Link in the description below. A cut above. Plug done. Patented coin toss forthcoming. Guys, I'm your host for this week, which means you don't have to hear my terrible football takes. You just have to hear my terrible voice as I judge and critique everything that John and Dusty say. So here we go.
I think your voice is really pretty, Brian. I want to get that in. I think you're
right. No. Let me get my sweet talk in too. Your voice is so... It's like every time I hear it, it's resounding through a great chapel.
I can't do it anymore. Brian, your voice is garbage. Give it to John. John right. wins.
This is by the way, where I really miss Jordan, man. That dude had a voice of pure velvet cake, man. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. We miss you. Mm-hmm. We miss you, J-Bone. All right, every guys. Day. Coin toss number one, John versus Dusty.
Come on now.
We're talking trades here and major hypotheticals, but... we're just going to have a little fun. The game wasn't fun, so let's do this. All right, we're going to assume that the compensation for each of these players would be one first-round pick. And we're going to assume that neither player would come with any guarantees for a long-term deal. So with those two things in mind, who would you rather trade for? Earl Thomas or Le'Veon Bell? Told you, we're going to have fun. Dusty, you're going to go first. Yes, sir. Heads, Earl Thomas. Tails, Le'Veon Bell. And it's heads. Dusty, go Earl Thomas on us.
Yes, Earl Thomas. All right, man. Listen, this team has weaknesses, and they've become a bit more glaring over these past few weeks. I do think some of them will be cleared up. One of the ones I'm less confident of that is one of the biggest holes on the team right now is safety. I mean, right now we've got – listen, we don't know if Josh Jones, when he's going to be back. I think he's questionable for this week. Even if he's back, he was always kind of like a project at safety anyway. He was always kind of seen as like a hybrid guy through this whole thing. And so right now our starting safeties are HaHa Clinton Dix and Kentrell Bryce. Now I'm a little higher on Clinton Dix than other people. He has his issues, especially in the box. I think he's a fine kind of a deep center fielder. I think sometimes he plays a little safe, but he has decent instincts there. And so, HaHa Clinton Dix, I think I'm okay with Bryce. I like Bryce. I think Bryce can be good. It's been very, very clear for these first 3 weeks that Bryce is just a ways away from being a starting safety on this team. He kind of streaks me as a kind of a hybrid, kind of a more in the box guy, kind of a heavy hitter, a thumper, a slightly lighter linebacker. And what he's doing right now, I mean, they're switching him out. They got a lot of, say, Bryce as your single high safety, and he seems like he has zero awareness. He can't play the ball in the air. This is for a team that had Super Bowl aspirations before the year that, you know, we thought maybe they went down when Rodgers getting injured. Even if Rodgers comes back, the Achilles heel on this defense is just that safety group, man. A guy like Earl Thomas back there with his ball skills, his aggressiveness, his tackling skills could be a game changer, like immediate. I mean, trade for him today. He's in the game this Sunday. And even when he hasn't been practicing, he's been balling in Seattle this year. Like, he would be a tremendous upgrade at a group that I would say is our weakest on the field right now. So for me, I mean, listen, we've got the two first round picks next year. If someone right now is like, listen, you get a rental of Earl Thomas for this year only, and it costs you one of your two first round picks this year, I know a first round pick is a lot. I take that in a heartbeat, even with zero guarantees, just because I've said this from the beginning. I feel like this team could be special, and I feel like it's been derailed a little bit. I think with a talent like Earl Thomas at a very, very weak position, I think shores that up and puts us back in the Super Bowl conversation again.
John, I want to hear an opinion from your tooth missing, painkiller addled brain right now.
I am pretty much going to tell this straight as it is. right now. What you're getting in Earl Thomas is a guy that can contribute this season, but who's to guarantee that he is going to be around for years to come? And I think that that's what you. I know that the hypothetical was thrown out there that this is just like a 1 year deal, no guarantees that the people that they're going to sign an extension. But what you're getting in Le'Veon Bell is the best running back in football, the most dynamic running back in football, and a guy that once he gets to Green Bay and experiences the atmosphere, once he experiences what it's like to play with Aaron Rodgers, he's not going to want to go anywhere. And we have literally a bunch of hit or misses right now that are coming up on contracts where it's like, we're not going to re-sign these guys. And that's, we're talking about Randall Cobb. We're talking about Clinton Dix and we're talking about Clay Matthews. These guys, they're all gone. So we're not looking at bringing any of these guys back. So it's like, how do we keep ourselves a Super Bowl contender for years to come? And that's get the best running back in the game right now. A first round pick for Le'Veon Bell, please. Like if they want to, I'd maybe consider it. I maybe talk a little bit crazy, but all I'm saying is that you are putting yourself in contention to win many Super Bowls if you bring a player like Le'Veon Bell to Green Bay, just based on what he brings to an offense and how him and Aaron can work together. I know we got great running backs. That's not to discredit any of them, but none of them are Le'Veon.
John, I wanted to have fun in this segment, and you had me feeling like a combination is fun. I would have given you double points if you had mentioned that this is our chance to make up for not getting Brett Favre and Barry Sanders together. But John, you had fun, and I'm giving you the point.
Thank you.
I did
have fun. It was like
I could tell.
It was. I think Le'Veon would be. I mean, I think before when we were talking about the questions before the episode started, Dusty's like, I don't even like want to talk about it because I know it's not going to happen, and I'm like, but you know what? It is fun to talk about stuff like this. So continue.
It is. I will continue. Thank you, Jonathan. You're so gracious. Okay.
I'm always gracious.
A little bit less fun. Aaron Rodgers
suck up.
Knee.
Excuse me. Sorry, I had a cough.
you want to stop and get a lozenge real quick, Dusty?
No, I'm good. All right. I'm good, man.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers' knee is injured. Guys, did you know this?
No one's ever talked about it. I'm unfamiliar.
To me. Okay. Yeah, some big giant dude fell on top of it, and it's been kind of messed up ever since. We've seen some talk on the social media sites that maybe, just maybe, we should bench Rodgers for a week or two, get him healthy so he can help us down the stretch, because otherwise it might just keep getting worse. So we're going to talk about just this week. Guys, would you bench Rodgers for the good of the long-term look of this season? Sacrifice potentially this one game against the Bills. John, you're up first.
Okay.
If it is heads, if it's heads, you're going to bench him. If it's tails, you're going to let him play. It's heads, you're going to bench him.
Oh my gosh.
have fun, John. Have fun.
Yeah, I mean this is ultimately a scenario that you'd never even want to talk about, but this is the unfortunate side of the season so far, and that is the injury for Aaron Rodgers. And obviously it's a lingering issue for him right now. We watched him during the game on Sunday when he'd escape the pocket and he'd run for a third and five. I mean, he needs to do this. He wants to do it. He did it. But you look at the camera zoom in on him after he runs for it, and he's just – he literally looks like he can't even put pressure on his knee. And I don't see this as an injury that's going to just get better as the season progresses. And with this lull-ish in the schedule before our bye week, I think that it would be an appropriate time to sit him, just based on the fact that if there's any possibility that we can, you know, sit him for a couple weeks or something, have him come back, and he has more mobility than he had before, and his knee isn't going to digress instead of, you know, get better, then yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. So this is playing into the idea that Rodgers would be back healthier if he would sit, and that the knee would just need a couple weeks to heal up. But I am all about it, yes.
Dusty.
I mean, a lot of what John said is true. Like, it is, you know, his knee is hurt. I think it does need to be rested. It is something that seems like it's... without knowing the full extent of the injury, I guess, or fully understanding the full extent of the injury, it's hard to say whether it's going to get better or not. But, yeah, seeing him out there kind of lumbering a little bit and limping and, you know, pulling up, just kind of getting out of the pocket and pulling up a little bit because he doesn't look quite right. Like, it's tough to watch. But what I did see this past week from the offense, I mean, the offense was fairly ugly this past week. You know, they missed some. They didn't seem to be on the same page. But what I did see when I was kind of going back over the passing offense, I saw an offense that's really, they seem really, really close to getting in sync. And I'll get into more of this in the numbers section, but I think they're very close to getting in sync. I think you've got some young guys. You know, obviously Allison's been coming on. Cobb had an off week. Adams is good. You have, you just got Jones back, but they're just a little off on their route running and a little off on the timing. And I don't know how much of that is Rodgers' injury and how much of that is just, you know, early season malaise, kind of what we see out of the Packers quite a bit, and not really playing too much in the preseason. But I see a team that's on the verge of breaking out their offense. And I think taking a week off, even for Rodgers' rest, may set that back a little bit. It may short-term seem like it makes sense to get Rodgers some rest against an opponent like the Bills. But it seems like this is an opportunity, especially with the Bills' pass defense, that they really could break out. This could be the game where they get in sync, things are clicking, that confidence level goes up. So I'd hate when they just seem like on the verge of all that stuff kind of clicking together. I hate to see Rodgers miss a game and just kind of reset some of that.
Dusty, I like what you said. I want Aaron Rodgers to play. You get a point.
Thank you. I like that you're not trying to dress up your judgment at all, Brian. No, I appreciate your straightforwardness.
No, you picked the right one, Dusty. Yeah. Absolutely, he crushed that one. He crushed it.
Thank you for saying it because I didn't want to say anything nice about him.
So I can't compete with that. I can't compete with that.
All right,
you
John,
tried though, John.
Compete
you
with this. Try. Are you ready?
Ooh, fine. Ooh, bring it. Let's go.
All right. So Dusty alluded to this move just a few minutes ago. The Packers have signed Breshad Breeland, cornerback, played for the Washington NFL football team for a few years, was really good. He's a Packer now. We have another cornerback and a pretty damn good one, and I'm pretty pumped about him. There's been speculation to go along with it that Tremont Williams might move to safety, where he played a little bit under Mike Pettine in Cleveland a few years back. So I think we're all in agreement here that for the long term, you know, a few games from now, we definitely want him playing there, adds that versatility. But let's talk this week, guys. Let's talk about how bad Bryce has been, how average to below average Clinton Dix has been. Would you move Tremont Williams right now and give some of his cornerback snaps to Breshad Breeland? So, Dusty, you're going first. If it's heads, you're moving them now. If it's tails, you're waiting a few weeks. It's tails. Dusty, you're waiting a few weeks before you move Tremont.
Yeah, I mean, I like the young guys just kind of seeing what they've been doing. I've been a big fan of Alexander so far, so, you know, I don't want anything to happen with him. But especially in terms of Breeland, like, I don't know. It's really easy, I think, from the outside for us as fans to say, like, man, they got this guy. Let's plug him in. You know, you can play defense. We need a guy that plays defense. Plug him in. And it's another thing entirely for a guy to step in from off the street that's been out the game for a little bit and just step into a defense that, you know, based on what I know of it, Pettine's defense isn't the most complicated, and especially a lot of his assignments. I know he always says his assignments fit for the dumbest guy at that position. So, like, he does kind of adjust a little more than Capers, but there's a lot going on with that defense. I mean, you see it every week if you watch that defense. There's a lot going on. And for a guy to just kind of step in after having not played, be like, okay, now you're in and you're a starting outside corner and Tremont Williams is our safety. Like, in theory or in thought, that would be amazing. I don't think it works that well. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see Williams back there eventually, but just based on the fact that Breeland has just stepped in the door. And you're basically relying on Breeland, Alexander, who I like, Jackson, who I think has struggled a little bit. And then I don't know if King's playing this week or not. But I don't know. That seems like a – even against a team like the Bills with a quarterback that's kind of erratic and all over the place, I don't know. It seems like it's a dicey proposition to me. I'd rather kind of have Breeland maybe not dress – if he dresses, not play very much, but definitely keep Williams there and then see how it goes. And the Williams of safety seems like a post-bye week thing to me.
John, have fun, dude.
It's gotta happen now. And the reason being is that Kentrell Bryce just is not the person that we need back there with Clinton Dix. And Clinton Dix himself needs a little bit of help, and he's definitely not getting that from Kentrell Bryce. And the fact of the matter is that Tremont is he's old, but he knows where he's at on the field, number one. He's an absolute ball hawk, and he's played the role under Patton for a little bit, and it seems to just be an easy plug and play right now for a guy that's really struggling in Kentrell Bryce. He's not really understanding where he needs to be in this defense. I think that, you know, this defense that Patton's running right now is probably not too much different than the one that he was playing in Cleveland. So I think that it's just a quick plug and play right now with Tremont in there. And, you know, this is if he excels at the role, then we found ourselves legitimate help at safety. If not, you know, at least put him back there for the time being until we can maybe address this issue with Earl Thomas or maybe Eric Reed, hopefully. Hopefully Goodikunst is doing his part and being diligent about finding us some more safety help, but Kentrell Bryce is not the answer, and it's a no brainer to me that Tremont Williams needs to get in there, and he needs to get in there now. So that's it. Get him in there now, Brian.
John, that was fun. You gave coherent thoughts while you were on painkillers, and I like that. I would like to dock each of you a point because neither of you said anything mean about each other the entire time.
Because that was not nice fun. To be mean. Like
John's really doped up. I feel like even if I threw punches, they wouldn't really land. Like he wouldn't comprehend how waiting. But he wouldn't comprehend how mean I was being, and that seems meaner. So I thought I'd hold off.
That's all I cared
that's,
about.
This is gonna be the poll question at the end of the episode: is was John actually on pain meds?
I have zero idea. I've not been able to tell so far.
There's let's no send difference it out right between now. Regular John and painkiller John. Let's be honest. There's none.
We're always laughing. We're always having fun. Who did I win?
I think you won, John. You put together. I was unclear thoughts.
On that as well.
Woo! You put together coherent thoughts on painkillers, and it's impressive enough for you to do that not on painkillers. So, I'm giving it to you.
I mean,
you had hard points to argue, and you did it. I'm proud of you, buddy. You know what else I'm proud of, John?
Talk to me.
I'm proud of our guest. I am here with Dylan Zadanowicz of BuffaloRumblings.com, the SB Nation. Dylan, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing real good, man. Appreciate you jumping on the show with us.
No problem.
All right, we're going to get right into some Bills-Packers preview here. But I kind of want to talk a little bit first about this past Sunday's game where the Bills just rocked the Vikings in Minnesota. Josh Allen looked, from my view, looked a lot better than he did in the first couple weeks. Do you think Josh Allen has turned a corner at this point? Is this what we can expect moving forward, or was this more of just a good game plan, good matchup for him?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, he's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes. He hasn't made a whole lot yet, but Brian Daboll, our offensive coordinator, had a pretty good game plan going in, getting the ball out of his hand pretty quick. And letting his playmakers do what they do. I don't know if you can expect him to be squeaky clean and not throw any picks all the time. I think there's some times where he doesn't trust his arm as much as he should, and it results in a bunch of underthrows and near interceptions, which he did have one on last Sunday against the Vikings. But he also, there was a time in the second half where he threw a beautiful ball down the sideline for about 40 yards or so to Robert Foster, and it just bounced off his hands. So there's going to be a little bit of both of that all the time. It's just good to see him make progress, really, is what we're looking for at this point.
Cool. So that result on Sunday, big win by a lot of points over the biggest spread of the weekend. I think the Vikings were favored by like 16 and a half points, something like that.
Yeah.
Was that shocking to you? Is that not what you expected at all, or is that kind of the way things have been trending? You've been, you know, waiting for that explosion.
I think I speak for a lot of people that, you know, are around the Bills all the time, that no one expected for them to go in there and do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, watching the game against Baltimore was just a dumpster fire. And then the first half against the Chargers was terrible. So everyone was pretty surprised, pleasantly surprised, obviously. Especially going into that game, it's at Minnesota. Minnesota's a good team. They have a good defense. They're well-rounded. They have a lot of talent in a lot of areas of the field. So no one was really looking at that and saying that's a favorable matchup for us.
Yeah.
So that was a huge surprise when we went up 27-0 in the first half.
Yeah, it took me by surprise too. It was, but a very pleasant surprise. I was happy to see the Vikings lose that one. So more overall theme, I'm sure you're not blind to all of these quote-unquote roughing the passers that have been called. A lot of frustration around the league. What are your thoughts on that, and has that affected the Bills at all yet?
It hasn't affected the Bills yet. I do understand where the NFL is coming from trying to protect quarterbacks because, you know, there's not a lot of good ones in the league, right? So you want to protect those guys as much as possible. But it is a little bit ridiculous, especially what's been happening to Clay Matthews. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what you want the guy to do, really. Yeah. I mean, he the one against the Redskins on Alex Smith, that one was kind of – I guess you could say it was textbook of what they're not looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But – who'd you guys play the week before where he put his hand? Yeah, okay, the one on Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
where you guys, you know, and that was a big call in that game too, because yep. Right. So, and I don't think that should change the dynamic of a game like it did there, and especially when I mean he's looking up at the ref with his hands up as he's going to the ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you expect guys to do? It's so hard to control that in a bang-bang situation like it is.
Yep.
So I think sometimes it can be a little unfair. I think the NFL has to find a happy medium and figure out where to go from there.
Agreed. Looking ahead to this game, the Packers have a couple injuries on the right side of our line, which has already been struggling. Do you have a good enough pass rush in Buffalo that we should be losing sleep over it?
We should have one. I'm not sure it's going to show up. It didn't the first 2 weeks, but Minnesota, I mean, we just dominated the line of scrimmage the entire game. Especially Jerry Hughes, our defensive end. And I mean, he had a great game. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but he had, I believe it was 15 pressures that game.
Jeez.
And I mean, he just ate that left tackle for lunch. So he's a good player. I'm not really that surprised by it. Trent Murphy is starting to come into his own too, after missing basically a full year of football.
Yeah.
Kyle Williams is always going to be Kyle Williams. So he's one of the good guys up front, and he just does what he does every week.
Cool. Any thoughts before we sign off on how you think this game is going to go down? And if you feel comfortable enough, throw a score prediction our way.
Ooh. man, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news for Bills fans, but I don't think they're going to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the Packers are great. Aaron Rodgers is great, even on one leg. It's hard to beat them. So. Especially going from Kirk Cousins to Aaron Rodgers, it's a big difference. And the way that Aaron can manipulate the pocket, get the ball out of his hand really fast, I think that's going to play a pretty big factor in it. And score, geez, I don't know. Let's go just spitballing here. Let's go 24-20 Green Bay.
All right. I appreciate it, man. Also, before we sign off, go ahead and take a chance to tell the good people listening where they can find your stuff and what you do over at Buffalo Rumblings.
So I'm a staff writer for Buffalo Rumblings. We're an SB Nation blog for the Bills. We have a lot of talented guys over there that have a lot of good perspective on things. You know, my editor, Matt Warren, is one of the best in the game. So if you ever feel like talking about Buffalo Bills football or you're looking at some stuff from the other side coming up this week, you can follow us on Twitter at Buff Rumblings, or you can visit our website as well.
All right, Dylan, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, good luck on Sunday.
Thanks, you too.
And as per usual, Ryan Fonfara with a phenomenal guest interview covering for me. Technical difficulties is what we'll call it. But either way, what is not technical difficulties is Brian's ability to break down the three keys to victory. Brian, what do the Packers have to do to win on Sunday and get back to their winning ways and take hold of this division and get the job done, huh?
That's quite the intro. I don't know if I can follow up that enthusiasm, but I'm going to give it my best shot.
No, you can't. I'm trying to make it look bad right now, but it's fine.
All right. I mentioned in the interview with Dylan that we've got some injuries on the right side of our line. That's going to limit the things that we're able to do. We're going to need to make up for that. Bell going to be starting at right guard, most likely. That is suboptimal, but what you going to do? I'd like to see a lot more running this week. I'd like to see that regardless, just given Aaron Rodgers' health. I want to see three times as many snaps for Aaron Jones. That would sure help with that situation, with both situations, really. We need to make up for that. They've got a decent pass rush there. We need to at least make them back off just a little bit. Number two, we need to get to Josh Allen, and apparently we're not allowed to land on him or touch him or anything, so I don't know, like pull the flag from his pocket and that counts as a sack, sneeze in his direction.
There's gotta be some way you can sack a quarterback. There's gotta be a way.
Why don't we just do this? Why don't we get rid of all of the rules protecting quarterbacks, but nobody can blitz until three Mississippi? That's fair, right?
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Three Mississippi, then you get to blitz and do whatever you want to the quarterback.
Yeah, like give him an RKO or something?
Yeah, dude, a stone cold stunner, a rock bottom, anything. Dude, Swanton bomb from the top rope, I'm in. Yes. Either way, we need to get to him and shake some of that confidence that he built up last week. And he's a rookie. He's a rookie with an inconsistent arm, and I think we can do that. Third mini rant here. I'm going to use Mike McCarthy's term to say we need to clean up our house. And then I'm going to say that I am so sick of hearing Mike McCarthy say that we need to clean up our house. And I just want them to finally clean the freaking house, man. Oh, my goodness. It's time to shake off these penalties. Stop committing stupid penalties. I know we've had some bad calls against us this year, but, dude, we've committed some dumb ones. Like Clay Matthews' penalty at the end of the Bears game. That one was legit, and it was stupid. Like, so stop doing stuff like that. Make your freaking tackles, man. How many bad angles, how many missed tackles, trying to, like, grab a guy's midsection with your arms. You're not going to make a tackle that way. You're grown men. Make your tackles and catch the damn ball. Oh, my goodness. How many drops? Maybe Dusty will have that stat in his number segment, but, like, felt like a bajillion drops on Sunday. And
it wasn't – spoiler, it wasn't that many. It wasn't a bajillion.
Half a bajillion?
Yeah.
Closer. That's closer.
Okay, it was about half a bajillion drops in one game. And balls to their hands. My goodness. Cobb with a few. Kendricks with the most egregious of the day. Just, ugh. So clean your house so I don't have to hear McCarthy say that we need to clean the house anymore. Oh, I'm so sick of this. Okay. Mini rant over. Here we go. Score prediction. I've got the Packers winning this game. I think the Bills used all of their magic beans last week. The Packers came out. I thought they were going to come out on fire last week after being robbed of half a game the week before. It was just the opposite. They were flat. They were ill-prepared. They weren't executing on anything. It was just terrible. This has to be the opposite. They're at home. They've looked better at home through two games than their one on the road. There's no excuse not to win this game against the Bills. And I think they will. I'm going to say 27-10. Big win.
Brian, you know, you said something when you were talking about the game that reminded me of a line that got said all the time, and we had a previous defensive coordinator here, and that's Capers does really well against rookie quarterbacks. Just give the look at the numbers. And I'm like, we heard that all the time. And so that's what that reminded me of. And it kind of reminded me of Capers a little bit. Now I have a horrible taste in my mouth that only by the numbers can get rid of. Dusty, for goodness sake, help.
Yeah, all right. So I want to look at, now that we're 4 weeks in, we've got some Football Outsiders data. So I think what I'm going to do, I always kind of ramble a bit during these sections, but I'm trying to get a little tighter on some of this stuff. I'm going to kind of focus more on kind of overall DVOA rankings, Football Outsiders. I feel like that's probably a good starting place, and go a couple things off of there. So kind of start, look at the Bills defense versus the Packers offense. Bills defense this year, per Football Outsiders DVOA, which is a magnificent stat, and you should look into it. And listen, man, I don't really have a problem with Pro Football Focus, but Football Outsiders has been doing it longer, and I generally agree with them more. I really like what Football Outsiders does. That being said, Bills defense so far this year, not great. They're 22nd against the pass, and they're 14th against the run, which kind of stinks because the Packers offense, they're 16th in passing, honestly a little higher than I thought it was going to be, and they're 10th in rushing, which is not surprising at all, given the way Montgomery and Williams had looked for the first 2 weeks, and given the fact that Aaron Jones was ripping off 7-8 yard runs for like the four times he actually touched the ball last week. So it doesn't match up all that good because the Bills are stronger against the run. They're roughly average against the run, and they're worse against the pass, which kind of speaks to what I was talking about earlier with the not sitting Rodgers for this week. That argument lined up with this pretty well. So thank you, Brian, for not rigging it at all, but still having my points line up with each other.
Anytime, Dusty.
With that 22nd against the pass, that's not very good. And the Packers are 16th. And like I said, I think they're just on the verge of getting back on track. I think this could be the game to help them do that. You're going up against a not great pass defense with a decent run defense. They could get stuffed a little early. I hope they stick with the run because I do think that's a good weapon. But I do think we're going to see them maybe not lean quite as heavy on the pass as they have the past, you know, last week, say, when they got down early-ish. But I think this is going to be the game to get them back on track just for that. I think they're going to focus on that. I think they're going to attack them in the passing game early. And we turn around to the Bills offense. Bills offense, 31st overall, which is up one spot from last week. So, like, you know, congratulations, guys. You're not worse in the league anymore, which is great. They are still worse in the league in passing. Because Josh Allen is their quarterback.
Yep.
And I'm not going to put all that on Josh Allen because they did have Nathan Peterman for a game. And Peterman probably tanked him for the whole season in DVOA, if we're being honest. So 32nd in passing, 21st in rushing. And if we flip it over to the Packers defense, Packers are 21st against the pass and 29th against the run. Like, we know they weren't good. They're pretty bad. So again, like, the Bills worst in the league in passing, 21st in rushing, not good, but the Packers are close to the bottom in rushing. So you can almost see Bills taking kind of a ground and pound approach here and really trying to maybe shorten the game, trying to keep Packers offense off the field and just pound them where they are, especially with Wilkerson out. I don't know exactly how the defensive line is going to look or what they're going to do, but they've not been good so far. Now they're missing a guy. So you can really see Packers kind of going run heavy and Bills going, Packers going pass heavy and Bills going run heavy in the early goings here. I did want to look at kind of what the Bills did for QB pressures, because that's a little frightening to me for many reasons. They pressure the quarterback on 28% of dropbacks, which is 14th in the league. So it's not great, but Bulaga hasn't looked great so far this year. And Brian mentioned, you know, Byron Bell is in for Justin McCray. And so that right side is a little scary. To make that even scarier, third in the league individual pressures this year is Jerry Hughes. He's got 9.5 through three games. And I was just watching that Vikings game. He was a terror off the edge. And again, Bulaga not looking good and Bell in for McCray. So that right side, you know, we were talking before the Bears game and we were like, hey man, they're going to have to like Chip Khalil Mack, and they're going to have to do this and do that. And then they didn't do any of it, and then Khalil Mack did terrible things. They're going to have to do that this week. For a half. They're going to have to do that this week from the jump. Like, they're going to have to chip. They're going to have to chip with Williams or Jones or Graham or Lewis or Kendricks or whoever. Just chip Jerry Hughes, because there's not a whole lot of other guys on that team that are going to kill you, but Hughes could mess stuff up in a hurry. That's kind of where it went south in that Vikings game. Was that pass rush was hitting Cousins early, and he got a couple of strip sacks? That could happen in this game, and if that happens, if Hughes kind of gets on track early and they don't make a whole lot of adjustments, this game, I'm not going to say it could get out of hand. That, I mean, that's what it did with the Vikings game. It becomes a tougher road if you're letting Jerry Hughes go off. So please, for the love of God, man, just chip him or something. Just chip him. Just chip him. This is not that hard. And I guess actually, I don't know. I was talking about Blog. It might be Spriggs over there. Either way, someone's going to be over there with Byron Bell, and I'm not excited about it. The good thing, I feel like I've been kind of a downer. I got a couple really good things here. Prior to last week's game, where they held the Vikings down, in part due to kind of Vikings' uncharacteristic mistakes and defense playing well, the Bills gave up 78 points over their first 2 weeks. 78 points. Like, regardless of what they did last week, this is not a good defense. This was a team that was seen from the beginning of the year as one of the least talented rosters in the NFL. And they showed that over the first 2 weeks. Don't let last game color your perception. Yes, they looked a little better than expected. They're still not a good team, and they will give up a lot of points. And the other thing, I don't have any numbers to back this up, but I feel like 90% of HaHa Clinton Dix's interceptions come on balls that are overthrown over the middle. And guess what Josh Allen does really well? This is, I'm really excited for the after the game of this, where we're going to have a bunch of people going, you know, HaHa Clinton Dix had 3 interceptions, but he's not really good. Because they're probably correct. but also, he had 3 interceptions, so like, I don't care in the heat of the moment. So that's a couple things that maybe make you feel a little better, you know, just to get you pumped up a little bit. Also, through 3 games, the Bills have scored 7 points in the fourth quarter. So the Packers have a lead in the fourth quarter. Bills aren't scoring to come up with that. It's a lot of stuff. Guys, Packers offense, bottom line, Packers offense, I think they're close to getting in sync. I think this is the game. We see the passing offense start clicking. I think we see the defense look a little better. This is the week. Pack is back. Packers win big. 35-17.
Oof. Dusty, I think you accomplished your mission in making us feel better, because, man, I was telling Brian, me and Brian just talked just for a second on the phone today, you know, on my way home from work and stuff, and I was just like, dude, this is my first time really trying to talk about what happened on last Sunday, and it's just kind of been a little bit down, but man, you got me feeling like the Packers are going to be turning things in the right direction, Dusty. I know that we do have some injury concerns. We have six starters out right now that did not practice today. And I'm hoping that somehow, some way, we can get healthy and just get things moving in the right direction, because I do think that this team is good, and I do think the Bills are a beatable opponent. Dusty, you said that they gave up a bunch of points in the first 2 games, and I think that's something that Packer fans want to see, is our offense actually do something that they're capable of, and that's put up a lot of points on the board. So I'm going to say Packers do win, and I don't think that it's going to be as pretty as we want, but I will say Packers win 29-16. And that's
it. All right. 29. That's an interesting score.
It is. I know. And I feel like this is the same score I did when I got it right when I picked Jacksonville. So, you know, I'm just trying to win this one more time. It would mean the world to me. And what else would mean the world to me is your final thoughts, Brian, as we go about our business.
All right, another mini rant. There's someone else that needs to clean up their house, and that's the NFL, the entire thing. Roughing the passer calls, these, like, seriously, for me, guys, neutral games have become almost unwatchable. I used to watch 3-4 games every week, including the Packer games. Now I watch the Packer game, and I might have another one on, like, in the background while I'm cleaning or working or something like that. Like, I have almost no interest in watching anything that's not Packer related, unless it's the Bills winning 27-0 over the Vikings, but that's for a totally different reason. So yeah, they need to get these things cleaned up. Like, you know, overall quality of play in the NFL, I feel like, has gone down in the last few years too. Like, that doesn't help, but this is just stuff that's putting it over the top and making it really difficult to watch. My only other final thought, and it's a much more positive one, somebody we haven't talked about much on this podcast, but Geronimo Allison is a freaking beast.
Yes.
That dude is, through three games, our number one wide receiver. And my goodness, he's been so good. He's been getting deep. He's been getting open. That touchdown he had this week, that was an adjustment, man. He read the coverage and found that wide open space, and Aaron Rodgers found him, and it connected for six.
Filthy sluggo, just dude. Like, just filthy.
Filthy. I hope he took seven showers after that, because he was filthy. Oh, my goodness. So, not enough love can possibly go towards Geronimo Allison. Love the guy.
True.
I hope he keeps it up, man, because if Cobb and Devontae Adams get their acts together just a little bit, we have a three-headed monster at receiver, and I am here for it. That's it, guys. It for me. You can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian. You can find us at @PTTF_podcast.
That's it?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, Cobb has been good. Cobb had a bad game. Through two games,
it's
Cobb
just the
amazing.
Drops. He has been good. It's just the drops. And if he eliminates
In one game he had drops. I don't think he dropped the ball last season. So I don't think that's going to
continue.
I'm not
mad at Cobb. I'm not.
I'm just... I'm actually
really pissed off at Cobb.
Yeah, like John. John's mad. I know the people that are.
John's an idiot.
I'm just reiterating my love for Cobb. Well, that's true, Brian.
I actually do want to hear, like, what, because you've been a Cobb supporter since day one, brother.
Yeah,
I mean,
because he's smart.
I don't think there's any reason to worry about Cobb, but he is susceptible to stuff like this. Would you not agree?
Well, I mean, he has been, but again, like, he didn't drop a single pass, like, all last year. I think in the past 2 years, up until this game, he had dropped, like, one pass in the past two seasons. Like, I think some of that stuff kind of plagued him early, and people carry that forward with him. He's not had a problem with drops in, like, two or three seasons now. So, he had been, but, it seems like he's cleaned that up. He had a bad game. I think Rodgers was a little off, so some of those balls weren't thrown maybe where they should have been, and that complicated thing. Still should have caught it. I'm not... You know, not excusing that or anything, but I think that Cobb has a history of that. Like, he's not had a history in years of doing this.
Man, I gotta say too, since you sort of brought it up, is that Rodgers did miss throws on Sunday, and it was very evident that there was a lot of throws that he missed.
Not to Geronimo.
Yeah, talking about Cobb too, like, Cobb was actually open downfield for touchdowns on a couple ones, and Rodgers either didn't see him or. You know, missed the throw on one of them, was a little late on one of them because he was looking at coverage elsewhere. Like, Cobb had a bad game. Cobb was also open quite often this past game and was running tremendous routes.
Mm-hmm.
He just wasn't getting the ball in his hands for those. Like, and you know, maybe he drops them. Maybe it was just one of those days he drops them anyway. But I thought, even despite the drops, like, Cobb looked fine. Cobb looked fine despite the drops. I have zero concern about him going forward. Not to get into a Cobb tangent, final thoughts, because that wasn't one of my final thoughts. I'll get into mine, I guess.
We know what you do, dude. We get the cheapest seats brother.
The cheapest seats. I've got three, and they're going to be quick. Cheapest seats. $17. Guys, $17. You can go see the Houston Texans take on the Indianapolis Colts. Now listen.
Oof.
I know that's not an exciting matchup. I know it's not an exciting matchup.
Deshaun Watson.
But it's it's $17. Watson's not been good this year, but he's still exciting to watch. Andrew Luck is coming back. You know, Andrew Luck was, you know, can't miss prospect that, you know, despite him throwing more interceptions than he should have, still a very good quarterback, you know, up until the injury. And he's kind of on the comeback trail a little bit here. Beyond that, you know, Indy's not a terrible town. It's a nice kind of, we'll say, a wholesome town. It's a nice little town to kick around in. And that stadium's dope. So for $17, you can go see a divisional matchup between two teams with one quarterback who's kind of proven to be fairly good and kind of coming back from a major injury, and another guy that, well, Watson's also coming back from the major injury and looked like a top 10 quarterback before he went down last year with that ACL. Mm-hmm. So, this is a game, $17 It seems cheap and, you know, seems a little mean. Indy's usually on the lower spectrum of stuff anyway, so that's fine. This seems like a game that if both those guys are on, like, this could be, this could end up being a decent game to go watch. I'm not going to say it will be.
I think so.
But you could see where it could be. So yeah, $17 if you're in the area. And you know, Indy's only 3 hours from me, and I would drive up there if I felt like it, but I don't. My second one, this is kind of, we were talking about Mike Daniels earlier, and so I just kind of had this Pro Football, or Football Outsiders, I had their kind of individual QB pressure page up anyway, and I was kind of looking at it while Brian was talking, because I only paying attention to Brian about things. And so I'm looking at their individual pass pressures. You know, at the top of the list, we've got the two guys tied for first. We've got DeMarcus Lawrence and we've got Geno Atkins. No surprise there. I think Lawrence actually led the league last year, and Atkins has been a monster his entire career, and I feel like he stepped it up a notch this year. Like, he's just, the dude's unblockable. He's just a bowling ball of muscle. And after that, we've got, you know, Fletcher, or Jerry Hughes, who I've talked about. And you've got the, you know, kind of familiar names. You've got Fletcher Cox, Khalil Mack, Melvin Ingram, Chandler Jones, Aaron Donald. And then you've got Mike Daniels with 7.5. Mike Daniels, who I don't think has looked his old Mike Daniels-y self so far this year and hasn't been a stout against the run. 7.5 pressures through three games this year, which puts him in the top 10. Wow. Which is pretty good. That's pretty solid.
That does surprise me. But
yeah, for a team without a whole lot of pass rush, so far Daniels is the top guy. The next one is Matthews with 5. Now that's you know, that's obviously down a little bit because it'd be seven without the penalties. And then you've got Kenny Clark with 3.5. You guys want to guess how many QB pressures Nick Perry has through three games?
I'm going to guess one.
He got a sack, so yeah, I'm with Brian. I'll say one.
2.5.
2.5.
Oh. He's got 2.5, so less than one per game. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. Yep, no, that's right. So he actually has one less than Reggie Gilbert. Reggie Gilbert's got 3.5. Nick Perry's got 2.5 through three
games. I have to squint and really recall remembering Nick Perry being on the field 2.5 times.
Nick Perry has half a pressure more than Muhammad Wilkerson and Blake Martinez do.
Oh my goodness, he's been real bad.
He's been real bad. He's been real bad. It's been upsetting. So yeah, that's your pressure. Mike Daniels actually decent at getting to the quarterback this year, so that's awesome.
Goodness gracious.
Last one, guys. Again, spooky season. I went to a liquor store this past week, and they don't have pumpkin yet, but they did have Dogfish's Head pumpkin, which is incredible. It's a brown ale. Okay. Really got me in the spirit. You know, it's been rainy. It's been kind of in the 60s. So I decided, man, I heard things about this movie. It's on Netflix. I was like, I'm going to check this out. You know, I steeled myself because I heard kind of really rough things about it. A little movie called Terrifier. You guys heard about this?
No.
Neg?
It's a creepy clown movie, which I don't normally get down for. Creepy clowns have been kind of, they're like one of those things that, you know, people, it's like a go-to, what are you scared of? People are like, clowns. Like, I don't know that a whole lot of people are actually scared of clowns. They're just kind of a go-to.
They're afraid of murderous clowns, but duh.
Yeah, but how do you know? Like, aside from, like, even John Wayne Gacy, yep. But, you know, people didn't know he was murderous at the time. You know, they did eventually, but, like, I don't know. They never really did it for me because it seems kind of overdone. The whole creepy clown thing, like, it's easy. You put someone in clown makeup, and then you just give them a weird smile, and it's like, oh, aren't they scary? No, it's cheap. It's a cheap way to get scares. And so it's kind of as little – I didn't know what to think going in because it's kind of centered around – it's a clown named Art the Clown. It takes place on Halloween night, and he's like, you know, stalks these two either college or just out of college age girls. That's kind of the setup. I didn't really know what to expect. It's rough. It's not for your... I think I said this after I watched it. Like, I really loved it. I thought it was tremendous. I also can't recommend it to anybody in fear of, like, them thinking negatively of me. Because there's scenes in there I can't say, like, oh, yeah, no, I recommend that movie to you where this thing happened. Because it reflects poorly on me. But it kind of... So I won't say
watch it. Things are that bad in the movie?
There's some rough scenes, man. It's real. It's kind of like grimy, gritty. It's like, it's got like, I can't think it just came out last year or earlier this year. I don't remember the date, but it's got like shades of like a 70s B-movie grindhousey type of feel. Very well done practical effects, but it's got like this really kind of cheap grimy feel to it. That being said, I thought the performance was really good. Like, they don't have cheesy performances. You basically follow two girls and then him, this Art the Clown. It kind of, like, the aesthetic of it kind of reminded me of William Lustig's Maniac, which came out in 1980. That if you've never seen that, holy crap, that movie's rough. So again, not recommended. And there was actually Elijah Wood starring remake of that that came out a few years ago. That's tremendous in a way different feel. But this feels more like the 80s one, the original Maniac. Just this kind of nasty, filthy, grimy movie that just at its core is very simplistic. It's this character, this entity is following these girls and he's, you know, stalking them and probably going to kill them and then maybe torture them. You don't know. Who knows? And it starts with like just this clown and this awful, like, look up a picture of it at some point. Like, it's this clown in this weird makeup and he's kind of got these black teeth and he's just sticking a whole bunch of tools in a big black garbage bag. And then he just sets out on the town.
Is that the GIF you posted?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was.
I remember seeing that. That was a creepy looking dude.
Yeah. The guy that plays him is a guy named David Howard Thornton. And I think he's like a play actor, mm-hmm. That kind of did that. And his expressions are so good. He actually follows me on Twitter now, which is kind of terrifying to me that the guy who plays this creepy clown is following me. So I'm trying to watch my step now.
Dusty behind you.
I don't know. So I'm not going to highly recommend it. Cause again, reflects poorly on me, but, it's short. It clocks in like an hour 20. So it kind of gets in, gets out. You know, like within the first 5 minutes, you know whether you're up for it or not. There's a scene in the first 5 minutes where you're like, if you can stomach it, you know, like, okay, I got this. I'm good. Like, it kicks you off quick. It gets you in. It gets you out. It's an hour 20. It's kind of just a grimy, old school feeling movie. If you feel like that's your thing, throw it on and then don't judge me for it. So my final thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at Dusty Evely and at All22Talk.
Love it, love it, love it. Guys, I have some gigantic news for you. Newsflash, The Brewers. Our Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers that I've been telling you guys about all year. Everyone, the whole world. I've been screaming it from the mountaintops. My dentist, yes. He was jacking my tooth out of my mouth. Never saying that again. But
I prefer you didn't.
Pretty much what has happened, guys. This is breaking news. I don't know if any of you guys have heard it yet, but the Brewers have made the postseason.
They have.
We've guaranteed ourselves a berth in the postseason. Now, what that is, I have speculations it's going to be a division title. But that's just me. But what's happening right now is the Brewers are setting a tone for the whole state. We got the Brewers making the playoffs. We need the Packers to make the playoffs. We need the Bucks to make the playoffs. Because we have three great teams in our state right now. One of them's really got to get it going, the Green Bay Packers. The Brewers just did it. We know what they're going to do. They're capable of making a run here. I'm so excited to watch what they got. But I'm excited to see what the Packers can do this week. Because, man, guys, it's been 3 weeks. It's been an insane roller coaster for 3 weeks, I'd say. I mean, mm-hmm. just the way the season started. Then you got the whole Minnesota game. And then this last game against the Redskins was just like, I don't think you really had a clue as to how to take this team right now. So this game, we got to come out. We got to show out a little bit this week. So Packers, listen, get after it. Let's see what you got. We need you guys now because I'm telling you right now. My faith in this team is still there. I love them. I'll always love them. But, man, I got to see something. Let's see it this week. Let's take care of business against Buffalo. Let's keep it moving. Let's go Brewers. Let's go Packers. Let's go Bucks. Let's go Pack to the Future. We are Pack to the Future. Don't forget it. Keep tuning in. Keep checking out our writer's stuff. Check out the video work by Dusty. Check out the video work by Club. Get it all popping all in one place. Pack to the Future. We are Pack to the Future. Go Pack. Go. Deuces Nation.